सरस्वतीव्यासं
ततो जयमुदीरये
नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवतसेवया भगवती उत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवती नैष्ठिकी। श्रीमद् भागवतम सेकेंड कैंटो नाइन्थ चैप्टर आंसर्स बाय साइटिंग द लॉर्ड्स वर्सेस। यस्टरडे हाउ मेनी ऑफ यू मेमोराइज द वर्स? ओके, वेरी गुड, वेरी गुड, यू डिड इट। ओके, से इट। So this works, yeah. Yesterday you told me that you can't memorize verses. Yesterday you told me that you can't memorize Sanskrit verses, and you just memorized it. And it's a difficult verse, actually. It's long and with many complex words. Very good. We're impressed, Radharani. So it works, yeah? Okay, one thing I forgot to tell you yesterday, the last step. How many steps I gave you? Four? Understand the verse, words of the verse. Then repeat, remember the first words of each line, and then write it down and try to memorize, repeat it from time to time. And the fifth consideration is try to sing it by giving your own tune. Because giving the tune, actually, it helps us to sing. It helps memorize. Very good. And who else? Anyway, so I'm impressed that you all... Did you memorize it, Navadip? Okay. Yamuna, did you? Oh, you have a very good excuse. Okay. Anyway, so should we try it today? And will you memorize it tomorrow? The verse? Huh? Yes, thank you. So, today's verse is Tasmai Swalokam Bhagavan. No, I'm sorry. Yeah, I got mixed up. Text 8 actually. Dibyang Sahasra Abdam Sahasrabdam Amogha Darshano Jitanilatma Bijito Bhayendriyaha Bijito Bhayendriyaha Atapyata Smakhila Loka Tapanam Tapas Tapyang Tapatam Samahitaha. Okay, Divyang. So what's the meaning of the word Divyam? Pertaining to the demigods in the higher planets. Dibyam, the word Dibyam means pertaining to the demigods in the higher planets. Sahasra, I'm sure everybody knows. Sahasra means very good. Huh? Sahasra means 1,000. Abdam,
years.
Amogha,
spotless.
Without a tinge of impurity. Darshanaha,
one who has such a vision of life.
Jita,
controlled.
Anila,
life.
Atma,
mind.
Vijita,
controlled over.
Ubhaya,
both.
Indriyaha,
one who has such senses.
Atapyata,
executed penance.
Sma,
in the past.
Akhila,
all.
Loka,
planet.
Tapanam,
enlightening.
Tapaha,
penance.
Tapiyan,
extremely hard penance.
Tapatam,
of all the executors of penances.
Samahitaha,
thus situated.
So you got all the words, word for word meanings. Okay, the meaning of the entire verse then is Lord Brahma underwent penances for 1,000 years by the calculation of the demigods. He heard this transcendental vibration from the sky and he accepted it as divine. Thus he controlled his mind and senses, and the penances he executed were a great lesson for the living entities. Thus he is known as the greatest of all ascetics. Okay, so Dibyam Sahasrabdham, Dibyam Sahasrabdham Amogha Darshano. So Dibyam Sahasrabdham means 1,000 years. Dibyam means, yeah, according to the calculation of the demigods. Not our calculation. It's a demigod's calculation of 1,000 years. What's the difference between our calculation and? Our 1 day is our demigod's 1 day is our 1 year. 6 months is their day and 6 months is their. Our 6 months is their day and our 6 months is their night. Therefore, our 1 year is demigod's 1 day. Now, according to that calculation, you count days, months, years, and Brahma performed austerities for how many years? So, 1,000 years. Dibbam sahasrabdham amogha darshano. Amogha means... Amogha means spotless or sinless. Jita anilatma bijito bhayendriya. Jita means controlled. Anilam. Anilam, generally anil, the word anil means air. Prouda kadamba anila. You remember that verse? Ja kaumara hara. Verse, Prouda Kadamba, Kadamba Anila, the breeze, gentle breeze blowing from the Kadamba garden. So here also Anila, but this Anila actually means life air. Jita controlling his life air, Atma and Bijita Ubhaya Indriya. Ubhaya Indriya, meaning both his internal And oh no, ubhayo here would actually mean, because mind has already been included separately, mind has been mentioned separately. So ubhaya indriya means there are two types of indriyas. What are those two types of indriyas? The working senses and knowledge acquiring senses. Gyanendriya and karmendriya. Ubhajita vijita ubhayendriya. Brahma controlled both his senses. Then atapyata smakhila lokotapanam. Atapyata means atapyata. Tapo means what?
Penance.
Yeah. And a means? Atapyata actually here means executed penance. Tapasya kiyatha. Sma in the past. Sma akhila lokotapanam. For enlightening the entire creation. Planetary system. Thus he controlled his mind and senses, and the penances executed were great lesson for the living entities. Atapata smakhila loko tapanam tapas tapiyang tapatang samahita. Tapas tapiyang tapatang samahita. Tapotam means tapiyan and tapotam. Tapiyan means extremely hard penance, and tapotam means of all those who executed penances. So of all the in persons who executed penances, Brahma is the most exemplary. Thus he is known as the greatest of all ascetics. Dibyam sahasrabdam amoghadarshano. Dibyam sahasrabdam amoghadarshano. Jita nilatma bijito bhayendriya.
Jita nilatma bijito bhayendriya.
Atapyata smakhila lokatapanam.
Atapyata smakhila lokatapanam.
Tapas tapiyang stapatang samahita.
Tapas tapiyang stapatang samahita.
Dibyam sahasrabdam amogha darshana.
Dibyam sahasrabdam amogha darshana.
Jita nilatma bijito bhayendriya.
Jita nilatma bijito bhayendriya.
Atapyata smakhila lokatapanam.
Atapyata smakhila lokatapanam.
Tapas tapiyang stapatang samahita.
Tapas tapiyang stapatang samahita.
Divyam sahasrabdam amoghadarshano.
Divyam sahasrabdam amoghadarshano.
Jita nilatma vijito bhayendriya.
Jita nilatma vijito bhayendriya.
Divyam sahasrabdamamogha darshano.
Divyam sahasrabdamamogha darshano.
Jita nilatma vijito bhayendriya.
Jita nilatma vijito bhayendriya.
Atapyata smakhila lokatapanam.
Atapyata smakhila lokatapanam.
tapastapiyamstapatam samahitah.
Tapastapiyamstapatam samahitah.
Divam
sastravam mamokadarshanam.
Mataji's Dibyam, pertaining to the demigods in the higher planets. Sahasra, 1,000. Abdam, years. Amogha, spotless, without a tinge of impurity. Darshanaha, one who has such vision of life. Jita, controlled. Anila, life. Atma, mind. Vijita, controlled over. Ubhaya, both. Indriyaha, one who has such senses. Atapyata, executed penance. Sma, in the past. Akhila, all. Loka, planet. Tapanam, enlightening. Tapaha, penance. Tapyan, extremely hard penance. Tapatam, of all the executors of penances. Samahitaha, thus situated. Translation by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Lord Brahma underwent penances for 1,000 years by the calculation of the demigods. He heard this transcendental vibration from the sky, and he accepted it as divine. Thus he controlled his mind and the senses, and the penances he executed were a great lesson for the living entities. Thus he is known as the greatest of all ascetics. Please repeat after me. Lord Brahma underwent penances.
Lord Brahma underwent penances
for 1,000 years.
By the calculation of the demigods.
He heard this transcendental vibration from the sky. And he accepted it as divine. Thus he controlled his mind and senses. And the penances he executed were a great lesson for the living entities. Thus he is known as the greatest of all ascetics. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Lord Brahma heard the occult sound tapa, but he did not see the person who vibrated the sound. And still he accepted the instruction as beneficial for him. And therefore he engaged himself in meditation for 1,000 celestial years. One celestial year is equal to 6 multiplied by 30 multiplied by 12 multiplied by 1,000 of years. Anyway. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. No, it is actually, there is, I think, a printing mistake. It is 1,000 celestial year is 6 multiplied by 30 multiplied by 12 multiplied by 1,000 of years. His acceptance of the sound was due to his pure vision of the absolute nature of the Lord. And due to his correct vision, he made no distinction between the Lord and the Lord's instructions. There is no difference between the Lord and the sound vibration coming from him, even though he is not personally present. The best way of understanding is to accept such divine instruction, and Brahma, the prime spiritual master of everyone, is the living example of this process of receiving transcendental knowledge. The potency of transcendental sound is never minimized because the vibrator is apparently absent. Therefore, Srimad Bhagavatam or Bhagavad Gita or any revealed scripture in this world is never to be accepted as an ordinary mundane sound without transcendental potency. One has to receive the transcendental sound from the right source, accept it as a reality, and prosecute the direction without hesitation. The secret of success is to receive the sound from the right source of a bona fide spiritual master. Mundane manufactured sound has no potency, and as such, seemingly transcendental sound received from an unauthorized person also has no potency. And either by discriminating or by fortunate chance, if one is able to receive the transcendental sound from the bona fide spiritual master, his path of liberation is guaranteed. The disciple, however, must be ready to execute the order of the bona fide spiritual master, as Lord Brahma executed the instruction of his spiritual master, the Lord himself. Following the order of the bona fide spiritual master is the only duty of the disciple, and this completely faithful execution of the order of the bona fide spiritual master is the secret of success. Lord Brahma controlled his two grades of senses by means of sense perception and sense organ, because he had to engage such senses in the execution of the order of the Lord. Therefore, controlling the senses means engaging them in the transcendental loving service to the Lord. The Lord's order descends in the disciplic succession through the bona fide spiritual master, and thus execution of the order of the bona fide spiritual master is factual control of the senses. Such execution of penance in full faith and sincerity made Brahmaji so powerful that he became the creator of the universe, and because he was able to attain such power, he is called the best among the tapasvis. So here it's being described that how Lord Brahma performed austerities, which means he voluntarily accepted difficulties to understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead and his nature by withdrawing his senses from the objects of the senses and meditating of the Lord in the mind, in the heart. So, and he did that for 1,000 years according to the calculation of the demigods. I mean, it's inconceivable actually. Our 1 year, now multiplied by 6, multiplied by 30, and multiplied by 12. By 30 and multiplied by 12 is a day is actually 15 days of Brahma. Anyway, 6 multiplied by 30 multiplied by 12 multiplied by 1000. So this is the length of the demigods' duration of their year, celestial year, and thousands such years Brahma performed austerities. He simply meditated upon the Lord. And how could he do that? Because of his purity. That has been pointed out. That he is Amogha Darshanaha. Amogha, he is completely sinless. Actually, the more contaminated we become, more entangled we become to the material nature. And the more we become entangled in the material nature, more frivolous we become. People, those who are frivolous minded, those who are agitated, there are two types of activities. Either we control the senses or we cannot control the senses. When you control the senses, we become steady. When you cannot control the senses, then we become chanchal or chapal or agitated and fickle-minded, frivolous. So here we can see Brahma, what a capacity he had. And that's why it's been pointed out here that because of that, Brahma has been considered to be the greatest of all ascetics. People, those who perform austerities, Brahma has been considered to be the greatest of all of them. Otherwise, who can perform austerities for such a long duration of time? Sahasra Divya, Dibyam Sahasrabdam Amogha Darshan. Dibyam Sahasrabdam, 1,000 celestial years. 1,000 celestial years is, as I just mentioned, like 1 day of ours, I'm sorry, 1 year, according to our calculation, is a day of the demigods. Their days are 6 months is their day and 6 months is their night. When you go to the North Pole, we'll have a similar kind of experience. In the North Pole also, 6 months day, 6 months night. For 6 months, they don't see the sun because the sun is on the southern hemisphere. And when the sun is in the northern hemisphere, then for those 6 months it's always day. Closer we go to the North Pole, we find that. Like you go to countries like Norway, Sweden also, northern part of Sweden. Twelve o'clock midnight is still light. Sun doesn't set practically, summer. Whereas in winter, you don't get to see the sun. Just for 1 or 2 hours, the sun just comes up. It's gone. People go crazy, actually. In those countries, people... Somebody was pointing out once, one of our god brothers who spent a lot of time in Sweden, he mentioned that in Sweden people don't smile. Like, they're, because of not seeing the sun for such a long time, they become very, very depressed. Whereas we find that where the sun is present, people are very jovial, very joyful. And when the sun goes, when people don't get to see sun, they become very depressed. Actually, sun has such a wonderful effect on our life, on our mind and life. The more sun you get, more bright you become. Less sun you get, more depressed you become. The suicide rate in Sweden is one of the highest. Although their standard of living is one of the highest. The per capita income is one of the highest. The social security is one of the best. And still people commit suicide.
Average age is also highest. Average age is also highest
in Sweden. In Sweden, is it?
There was a competition between Sweden and Japan. Sometimes it comes first, sometimes Japan comes first.
In spite of all this suicide. Anyway, so the point here is, of course, the demigods are not like Swedish. Demigods are not. They are different altogether. Anyway, Brahma's thing is that he performed such austerity. And what did he do? He withdrew his senses and he was in such close contact with the Lord that his external consciousness was completely withdrawn. That's what has been pointed out by Srila Prabhupada here. And Prabhupada is pointing out that when one receives the transcendental sound from the right source, he accepts it as reality and prosecute that direction without hesitation. And that is the consideration of sincerity. Sincere means accepting it wholeheartedly and pursuing it with full determination. So when you take to spiritual life, when you get the instructions about spiritual life, we have to take those instructions very seriously. And when we do that, then our life becomes successful. We can see that Srila Prabhupada, he met his spiritual master just once and he gave him one instruction. Spread Krishna consciousness, spread the message of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu throughout the world in English language. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur felt the need to spread Krishna consciousness all over the world. And he told Prabhupada, 26-year-old man, about that. And Prabhupada just took it to his heart and he persevered. Prabhupada actually had to persevere for about 44 years to go to America and start preaching. Although he met him just once, but the instruction that he gave him, that became Prabhupada's life and soul. And that's what a bona fide spiritual master does. To his disciple, he gives specific instructions, and the disciple's duty is to accept it as his life and soul. I was fortunate to receive such an instruction from Srila Prabhupada. During my first meeting, Srila Prabhupada instructed me to translate his books into Bengali. And by his mercy, I had been able to do that, at least most of his books I managed to translate. And we are seeing how Prabhupada actually is guiding me. I completed that instruction and Prabhupada gave me another instruction. Now first Prabhupada gave me one instruction and then I took it upon myself. Like I completed the translation of Bhagavatam, translation of Prabhupada's books, the last of that was Srimad Bhagavatam. And then I decided to translate Prabhupada's life into celluloid, into movie. And then when I completed that project, then Prabhupada gave me another project, Ujjain project. So there is no dearth of service for a disciple. Disciple will always feel inspired by the spiritual master to render more and more service. There'll never be a time when you won't have any service. And Prabhupada used to say, if you don't have anything to do, just sit down and chant Hare Krishna. Just chant Hare Krishna. And that is the most important service, chanting Hare Krishna. So similarly, you all take up some service, the service that is given to you, just take it up with full sincerity. And by that endeavor, Mahaprabhu Sankirtan movement will spread. And it is important that we get linked up to a bona fide spiritual master. Bona fide spiritual master is the one who knows how to engage us in the service of the Lord. If the spiritual master is not bona fide, he won't be able to do that. They don't know where to engage them. I was reading Sitaram's posting this morning in the Ishta Goshti. How many of you read the last posting? You only read. He's mentioning he went to the milk shop to buy paneer and butter. And he's yogurt. And he saw that the TV, some person was giving a pravachan. The whole place was packed. But Sitaram was wondering, like, who is this person? He doesn't have tilak in his head, forehead. Which sampradaya does he belong to? What is he talking about? He's not talking about Krishna consciousness. He's just giving some entertainment. Some entertainment that people... And that's the problem in today's age. You give the right stuff, people are not interested. You give them some cheap stuff, many, many people will gather there. They don't know why they are gathering actually. They just go by the publicity. There's a big publicity in newspaper, big publicity in TV. So he must be a big sadhu. because he's in the TV. He may not be a movie star, but he's at least a TV star. But what he's talking, is their words are going to benefit us spiritually? In most cases we'll find, because we see thousands of people are attending those lectures, but what are they gaining? They are not taking to Krishna consciousness, they are not surrendering to Krishna, they are not chanting His holy name. Therefore Prabhupada used to say that one has to see a sadhu with one's ears. We have to see a sadhu with our ears, not with our eyes. We have to hear what he says. And then we have to consider how his words are benefiting us in our spiritual life. Is he inspiring us in our spiritual life? Or is he just making some stage performance? But then again, another consideration is that, like Prabhupada used to say, that we are not interested in number, we are interested in quality. If one sincere person becomes inspired by our preaching, then we will consider that our mission has been successful. So we should try to become that sincere follower of our spiritual master. In this respect, Prabhupada is to give the example of a plastic shop and a diamond shop. In a plastic shop, there are so many customers. But they are coming just to buy 1 rupee, 2 rupee items. Many people, many customers, but transactions are insignificant. But when you go to a diamond shop, not that many customers. But one customer comes and one transaction is made, 10 lakhs rupees. So our movement wants diamond-like personalities. This is the society that deals with diamonds. It's not dealing with some cheap stuffs. Kaach ka tukda, plastic ka tukda. And the thing is, and what is the ultimate consideration? The ultimate consideration is goodbye to the material nature. But then, benefit the material nature. Like devotees, most of the time what happens to devotees? When they join, they leave everything. They join ISKCON, giving up everything. But then, they go back, or they come back to the material nature. But they come back not to enjoy the material nature, but to benefit the material nature, distribute Krishna consciousness. When I came back from the West, I didn't want to go back. I never thought that I'll go back. When I came back to India, to stay in search of spiritual life, I threw away my passport. Because I thought that I have no need to go to the West now. Why should I go to the West? I'll go to the Himalayas. Those days, I didn't think of joining ISKCON, or didn't think of becoming a Vaishnava, so understanding was more like going to Himalayas. And but then after I came across Srila Prabhupada, also initially I didn't think of going back. For many years I didn't want to go back to the West. In 77, when Prabhupada was going to the West from Vrindavan, Prabhupada asked me, that just before he was leaving, I was sitting, he was all dressed up, waiting for the car, waiting to leave from Vrindavan at night. Flight was early morning. And I was sitting at Prabhupada's lotus feet. And Prabhupada asked, "Aren't you coming?" I said, "No, Srila Prabhupada." And I told him, "Prabhupada, I don't have my passport." Prabhupada said, "Okay, then you come and join me in Hawaii." Prabhupada's plan was to go to London, then to America, then to Hawaii. And he asked me to go meet him in Hawaii. But unfortunately, Prabhupada's health condition deteriorated in London. He came back to India. So that was in 77. Finally, in 79, I was asked to go. That was the new Vrindavan temple opening, palace opening. Prabhupada's palace of gold opening. And I was asked to go. And I was afraid to go, actually, go to the West. Because I knew how degrading the West is. Once I told also to Prabhupada. Prabhupada was encouraging me to go to the West and preach. And I was telling Prabhupada that I'm afraid of going to the West. And I had so many friends and I'm really afraid of them. And Prabhupada said, "No, go and preach." But although Prabhupada said, you know, that I could meet my friends and preach to them in the West, but I was afraid. But then I saw that when you are preaching, then it's different. When you preach, then Krishna gives protection. At one time I was afraid to go to the West and thought that I'll never go back to the West. But now I'm spending most of my time in the West. Of course, because of my involvement in Ujjain, I'm spending more time in Ujjain, more time in India. But before I got involved in Ujjain, I was not spending so much time in India. Because India, preaching in India is quite, can be quite disappointing. At least one thing with the West, the people are sincere when you speak to them, when you preach to them. But one frustrating thing about India is that everybody thinks that he knows everything. There's no need for him to. They want to talk, they don't want to listen. That means they feel that, well, they have to teach me something. Not that they have to learn something from me. And sometimes they get into arguments. That is the unfortunate state of affairs of India today. Due to the age of Kali, that is what is happening. Dharmasya glani. India is perfect example of this expression, dharmasya glani. Jada jada hi dharmasya glani bhavati. Fortunately, Prabhupada went and spread Krishna consciousness in the West. Therefore now the Indians are considering, maybe there is something. Americans are accepting it. When Prabhupada was preaching here, nobody listened to Prabhupada. Prabhupada had only one disciple, and he also left him. Before when Prabhupada went to America, there was one person who took initiation from Prabhupada, and that person was also not serious. Never came to Prabhupada when he came back, never helped Prabhupada. And Prabhupada went and started to preach in the West, and then when the American devotees came and started to preach Krishna consciousness, then the Indians started to think, oh, there must be something. Americans have accepted, so. And many of the times they wouldn't even become serious about spiritual life to become involved with ISKCON. They would think, oh, I've become a life member, I'll go to America, I'll have a place to stay there, free of cost. It's all business transactions. Very, very few people are actually serious about spiritual life here. And the big obstacle is the four regulative principles. That's a, not only it's an obstacle, it's actually a test for us. Who is serious and who is not? Through this test we can see. You are serious about spiritual life? Okay, follow the four regulative principles. But then often you find people arguing, what's wrong with eating meat? What's wrong with drinking alcohol? Tea and coffee, why do you have to give it up? Even the sadhus drink tea and coffee. In India, what to speak of sadhus drinking tea and coffee? In India, sadhus smoke ganja and hashish. So this is the state of affairs. No standard at all. No spiritual consideration. Sab chalta hai. And then finally there is jatomat tatopat. Whatever you do is alright. So this is the dharmasya glani. The dharma has been destroyed. The process of dharma has been destroyed. And adharma is prevailing. Adharma is prevailing everywhere. Cheaters and cheated. The cheaters come, people flock around him. Because they want to be cheated. And that's another thing that has been predicted in the age of Kali. About the age of Kali. The worst cheaters in this age will dress up like a sadhu and cheat people. The worst kind of cheaters will dress up like a sadhu. Because people trust the sadhus. So this is a good disguise for a cheater. So this is the dharmasya glani. Now how to revive the abhuttanam adharmasya? Kalikale naam rupe Krishna avatar. Krishna has appeared in the name of, in the form of the holy name. So there has to be the propagation of the holy name. Go and chant the holy name. Emphasize the chanting of the holy name. Chant the holy name. Don't neglect the chanting. How does do the devotees go out in Harinam? Ganganayana? Stopped it. So naturally dharmasya glani. No Harinam, Harinam stopped. Harinam stopped and picnic is gone. Harinam stopped. Harinam stopped and picnic is gone. Picnic chalta hai mandir mein. Khana khao aur ghum soyo bas aaj chhoda ghanta baja. Ye chal raha hai. Why Harinam stopped? When he started, we were going out on Harinam practically every day. Emphasize that. Encourage people to come to the Harinam. Make it a point. I mean, at least once or twice they were going out before. That also stopped. Why?
Shortage of devotees.
What are these? Prasadam time there is no shortage of devotees. Is there any shortage of devotees in prasadam time? Make a condition that before they come for prasad, everybody has to go for half an hour Harinam. Why don't you make a condition like that? 2:30 is prasadam. From 1:30 to 2:30, Harinam. How do you think of this condition? But then there is no prasad. Okay, after prasad. Yes? Yes. Oh, yeah. Everybody can go. Anyway, let's see Ganga what Ganga Narayan decides. Let the temple authorities decide. But the point is, continue the Harinam, don't stop it. Jagai Sankirtana Praya. If it's in the morning, will you join? We can do Nagasankirtan in the morning and evening also. Make this, because otherwise people will, you know, I think that is one of the reasons why our preaching is not taking its root here. Emphasize Harinam. You can't say that there is not enough devotees, like so many devotees. How many devotees would like to go out on Harinam? So?
How many went?
Okay, how many?
Show your hand in front.
Yeah, how many devotees went in Harinam so far? Okay. Yeah, haath uthana bahut easy hai. Aur aise jab inspiration aata hai, haath uth jata hai. But practically isko implement bhi karna hai. So please emphasize the Harinam. So many hands went up. So make it a point that everybody comes to Harinam.
Today 4 to 5.
Okay, today, good point. 4 to 5, Harinam. Okay, how many of you will go for Harinam today? 4 to 5. So many hands went up in the morning. Now the hands are dwindling.
6 devotees are going for book distribution today.
Let them distribute books while doing the Harinam also. How many devotees are going out?
6 devotees.
Okay. So, how many devotees are going out? Keke jaccha tumra? Book distribution keke jaccha? How many of you are going out in book distribution today? Okay, and besides you all, who wants to go on Harinam today? Why you have to go to Indore today? Program starting today. Okay. Anyway, so how will they, where will they get together? In the temple, in front of the temple? Please, yes. Make it a point to take a Harinam. When I came initially, local people also used to join. So many of local devotees in the, you can see the DVD, so many local devotees used to join. But now, okay, make it, inspire the devotees, ask them to come. Let's go out at least a few days, a week in Harinam.
Once a week, Nandrawal Guru Maharaj used to have a Mahanagar Sankirtan. And all the congregation and the members used to go and before I came here, we had a biggest one was about 400 people we had to know.
So, start this. You understand why we have to do it? Adharma is prevailing. How do we counteract adharma? Krishna says, dharma sansthapanarthayo sambhavami yuge. Now, in this yuga, how did Krishna appear? Krishna has appeared in the form of his holy name. So Krishna is here, now we have to take him out. And taking Krishna out is the Sankirtan. So make it a point to emphasize the holy name, chanting of the holy name. And devotees should always be concerned about the mission. What is our mission? Why we are here? We have to question why we are here. We are here to qualify ourselves to become spiritually situated, and then we must help others to become spiritually situated. Okay, does anybody have any question?
Maharaj, you have mentioned how there is a difference between the attitude of people in India compared to those of the West. So similarly, we can also see, especially in places like Ujjain and Madhya Pradesh, the attitude of people is very similar to what you have explained. So on the other hand, especially in the cities, we find that people are little more submissive than in the areas like, I mean, which are rural and all. So how do we, like in such a place like Ujjain, where people have this kind of attitude where it becomes quite difficult, a lot of endeavor has to put even to get a little rhythm. So how do we, approach such people? Some strategy here.
We can simply present the option to them, present Krishna consciousness. Those who are fortunate, they will respond. Those who are not fortunate, they will not respond. Our business is to just keep on endeavoring, keep on preaching, keep on thinking of different ways and means how to expand. Let people gradually understand, like people are coming. You see, as I was analyzing the other day, Initially, many people were coming. They were just coming out of curiosity. वो नया मंदिर बना है, चलो देख के आते हैं. बहुत सारे आदमी आते थे, बल्कि आध्यात्मिक जीवन के लिए नहीं, वो लोग आते थे, चलो मंदिर बना है, मंदिर देखने को जाते हैं. सुना है बहुत बढ़िया मंदिर बना है. एंड देन दैट क्यूरियोसिटी इज सबसाइडेड. वो देख चुका है मंदिर, अब जाने का जरूरत नहीं है. I've seen the temple, now there is no need to go. But now, what will happen gradually, some people, those who are serious about spiritual life, and when they come across our teachings, we have to present our the teachings of Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, and they will, those fortunate ones, will understand, then they'll come. And so on our part we keep on endeavoring and Krishna will send. But then again, as I was saying, like, we also have to be serious about our mission. If this the purpose of our coming to a temple is just to have some prasad and eat and sleep and do some ghanta, you know, like do some temple activities, then also the real purpose will not be served. The real purpose is to push this movement forward. And that's why we are trying to do, make different things, arrangements, so that, you see, one of the things that I am seriously considering is to create opportunities so that people can come from other parts of the world and settle down in Ujjain. And we have to make our standard very high. Like, we have to, when people come here, what should you offer them? What should you offer to them? We invite them, come, settle in Ujjain, but then what? If they come and they see there is just a bunch of lazy individuals just flocking around, naturally they will not be inspired. That's why you have to push. Go out and do things. Get things done. Go out and preach. Yes, Sitaram?
In this Kali, within 100 years, an individual can become perfectly self-realized. You see the length of Brahma's tapasya. People may question, you know, is there something wrong with Brahma's intelligence? Why had to take so long to understand these things when it's so easy now?
You think for Brahma it took long?
By our calculation, it seems that it took long.
Like, for normally, for spiritual elevation, it takes lives after lives. So for Brahma, it didn't take very long, actually. Like, what is 1,000 years? Even though according to demigod's calculation. But the thing is that in the age of Kali, the process has been very simplified. The highest process, the highest achievement has been made available for the lowest kind of people, without any effort. So that is the advantage of the age of Kali. The question is, why? The answer is, just as the father is most compassionate towards his weakest child, the Lord has become most compassionate for the most fallen people of this age. In other ages, spiritual life was meant for punnatmas, elevated souls. But in this age, this process has been given for the fallen souls. In this age, the qualification is not to become elevated. In this age, the qualification is to become fallen and depend upon the Lord's mercy. The more fallen we are, easier will it be for us to submit. Isn't it? Because more elevated we are, we'll become arrogant and proud. Oh, I am advanced. But in this age, the process is the mercy of the Lord is meant for the most fallen. Potito pavana hetu tabo avatar moshamo potito prabhu na paibe ar. My Lord, you have descended to deliver the fallen souls. And I can guarantee, I can assure you that you'll find no one more fallen than I am. So, the qualification is to be fallen. And more fallen one is, the more qualified he is to receive the mercy. Yeah. So that's the difference between other ages and this age.
I was reading the demigods are praying constantly to take their birth in this Kali Yuga because they were lamenting that they have to live so long and here, you know, it's just
right.
Nice.
Yeah, by taking birth in this age of Kali, especially after Srila Prabhupada appeared, after Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the golden opportunity has been created everywhere.
Do the demigods not become a little peeved at the living entity sometimes? Like they have this great opportunity and they're not utilizing it. Are they in any way effective in influencing or becoming maybe sometimes a little angry towards us?
They are thinking that they're fine. What they're doing is perfect. That's what they're meant to do. Taking care of the universal affairs and getting the benefits for that. Right? Like, you know, say there is a rescue mission. People are being rescued in a flood situation. Now, you see, the rescuers are going to rescue, right? And bringing them onto the shore and giving them all the facilities. And there are people in the city department, they are employees of the government and they are just getting their salary and they are doing their job. They are doing their part, but they are not rescuing the flood victims. Right? They are simply taking care of the city affairs. So that's what the demigods are doing. Like they are taking care of the universal affairs, but they're not really into the, you know, this rescue mission, rescue operation of the flood victims. Those people are separate and they are actually doing something that is going to get a different kind of recognition from the city, from the government. They're risking their lives going out. In most cases, well, they're just volunteers. They don't even get any payment. So the government employees in the city, they're the demigods. And the devotees are the rescuing, the flood, rescuing the flood victims. Yes, Radharani.
My question is regarding the comment made few classes ago, I didn't get a chance to talk to you. You said that Lord Shiva is not a demigod, but every morning when you recite the 10 offenses, you say you should not use the name of the demigod like Lord Thunder, but Shiva is not. Does also include?
Yeah, that term, actually, Lord Shiva cannot be described as demigod. If he is a demigod, then he is a very special demigod. He is the god of the demigods. Devadidev Mahadev. And another, I also explained the other day, like he can also be seen as a demigod when he is performing the his responsibilities in relation to the material nature. In that respect, even Lord Vishnu has been described as a demigod. You'll find that Vishnu has been described as a demigod. Now, is Vishnu a demigod? Is Lakshmi a demigoddess? No. But Lakshmi, in the material aspect of Lakshmi, is a demigoddess. Right. Then they can be considered as a similar category.
But does the nature change that they are considered demigods?
No, not nature doesn't change, but their activities. The activity, they're performing in that capacity, but they remain the same personality.
So, Guru Mahārāja, when they're performing the duties in the material nature, is it an extension of them performing it in the material nature? Like when Lord Shiva is engaging
in, yeah.
It's an extension of
it's an expansion.
And therefore, that expansion is considered as a demigod?
Yeah, but then again, the expansion and the individual are the same.
Yes.
Yes, Radhika. The good question. Maybe you should tell the pujari. Yeah, it's cold, yeah? You're feeling cold. So we have to keep Krishna warm also. Right. What about Lalita Vishaka? They were warm tonight? Were they warm? They had a shawl?
The arms are bare.
Huh?
The arms are bare.
Okay. Okay, maybe we should make full sleeves. Gopi Dev, yes, a full sleeve. Okay. So